D-100, throw the alley-oop.
Wagwan, beautiful souls in this world, you are now tuning into season number two. Two times, I'ma say it again. Season number two with Coolie Baby Expresses Podcast. I need you to lock in and chime in on this new episode that God is about to reveal to you. Stay tuned and y'all be blessed.
Love, light, wisdom, guidance, blessings, and discernment. Beautiful souls in this world, I don't know we are not of this world. Here's your host, Coolie Baby Day. You done know the tingle already. And welcome to Coolie Baby Expresses Podcast. Here we are, season two on episode 5. Glory be to God. And I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for joining. Thank you for being consistent and faithful. My God, scripture says that if you are faithful over a few things, my God, if you are faithful over a few things, and a lot of you have been so faithful in supporting, a lot of you have been not just supporting me in the ministry that God has built from scratch, from the ground up, but a lot of you have been so faithful in being hungry and being having hunger for God and His Word, having thirst for God and His Word. And so you tune in faithfully, not just to me, but to any other platform or any other ministry that God has brought you to, that God has allowed your heart to have an unction to listen in, to get edification, and all these things. You have been faithful. You have been committed to seeking God. And let me tell you how God honors that. He honors it. He honors it. Yes, He does. And so I want to encourage you to continue to seek God, continue to seek His face, continue to seek out the plans that He has for you. Because overall, we know that He has plans to prosper us, give us hope in a future, right? And so, and that's in Jeremiah. He tells us the plans that He has for us. And so let's keep in mind that whatever God speaks, it has to come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever God speaks or has spoken, it has to and must come to pass. That's by law. Yes, that is by law. And so I'm just grateful that you are very faithful in your seek for Christ and your seek to see His face one day. And so your seek that you are able to be in purpose and be able to fulfill the plans that He has for you. Keep being faithful, keep being committed, keep being very zealous in everything that God has for you. And I can assure you, you will see the manifestations of God. You will see the manifestations of the purpose and the will that is on your life. And nothing, no one, no spirit, no demon, nothing can come in between and hinder what God has for you, beloved. Okay, continue to do exactly what God needs you to do. Amen. And so also disclaimer, you guys, if you hear any like distance, background noise or anything like that, just please disregard it. Bear with me. Right now we have some men working outside of the studio, so you might hear some of that background noise. But guess what? This word is going to get out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as you can see, the title of this episode, and I really want to dive into this because this is very important for not just the body of Christ, but for people who are not sure of their true identity yet in Christ, okay? The big picture of it is your true identity is in Christ and in Christ alone. If there's an identity of you outside of Christ, it's not your true identity. That's not who you truly and really are. Really are, right? So this is about your true identity. And so as you can see, the question stands, do you know you? I ask again, do you know you? All right, many of us are living this life. We're living this life and in the carnal, you know, a lot of our minds are just strictly, oh, what the world says, what the world looks like, what the world wants me to do, what the world wants me to be and say. You know, a lot of our lives look like this. And so we really chime into, okay, so if my title is teacher, then that's all I am. I'm a teacher. Okay, well, if my title is nurse, my title is judge, lawyer, officer, a musician, painter, cook, then this is just who I am. This is the title that I must live by. And so if that title is stripped away from you, you don't know who you truly are. Okay, you may be a nurse to the carnal eye, to the natural eye. You may be the top judge of the whole district, right? To the natural eye, to the carnal eye. But say that title is stripped away from me, because God says, just as I have given it, I can so take it away. So say, you know, God has authorized and allowed that title to be slipped from under your feet, right? Say you no longer can use that PhD behind your name. Say you can no longer use the titles that was given to you by the world. Then who are you? Who will you then say that you are? It reminds me when Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say that I am out there? And then he asked Peter, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? Well, God is now asking you, who do you say that you are? Because Jesus came and he switched up so much things, okay? He brought clarification to so much things, okay? He destroyed some mindsets of the world. He destroyed a lot of those things. He brought into fruition the truth and covenant and truth and the way and the life of what God needs, you know, in order for his people to come together before that rapture happens. You understand what I'm telling you? So Jesus came to do so much. And prior to that, he asked, well, who do people say that I am? Because a lot of people was in the face of Jesus, came to serve him, but couldn't even see the God that they were serving. They couldn't even see that God right there before their very eyes. So now God is asking the question, who do you say that you are? Do you know you? Okay, and so let's go a little bit deeper, because a lot of people claims to know themselves, right? We live in a world that's full of self-love, and you know, you gotta have self-love, and you know, and listen, I'm not knocking self-love. Actually, loving self is very important. Why? Because if you love God, then you can truly love yourself. And if you truly love yourself, then that means you love God, but not with a love of cockiness, not with a love of arrogance, not with that. No, that's not the kind of self-love we're talking about. We're talking about a godly love that because you love yourself, you can love your neighbor. Because you love yourself, you can love your enemy. Come on, somebody. And this is not the easiest thing to do. These things are not the easiest things to do. They're very challenging. Why? Because we live in a carnal world. We live in a fallen world where our flesh wants to take the will at any given time, any given opportunity. The flesh is ready to take the will and do as it pleases. And as you can see, the Bible tells us how our flesh and our spirit are always at war. Our flesh is always war with the spirit, and our spirit is always at war with the flesh. So if your flesh tries to rise up at any given opportunity that it can get, then that lets you know that that's not what God has for you, because it's the spirit that God needs and desires that you live by. It's the spirit that God wants you to hearken to and literally make your decision based off of his spirit. Make, you know, do things, do behave in a way that his spirit will have you behave. Speak in a way that his spirit will have you speak, right? Not the flesh, but the spirit. So a lot of people, you know, live this lifestyle in this world, and they say, oh, well, I know who I am. And a lot of people say that because of certain behaviors, oh, this is just how I always been, or this is just how I am, and that's just me. You take me, you what's that song by Mary J. Blige? So take me as I am, or have nothing at all. A lot of us are saying, just look, you gotta take me as I am or have nothing at all, because this is who I am, this is how I've always been, this is how I grew up, and there's gonna be no changes because this is just me. And Jesus says that he came to tear down that wall. That's a wall. That's a wall. And you know what has built that wall up? That wall is built up of trauma. That wall is built up of things that has transpired and encountered in your life that you have been through, right? That allowed you to be insecure, allowed you to be, you know, fearful, allowed you to be, you know, guarded, allowed you to be all these things. And yes, the Bible says guard your heart, because the heart can be deceiving, right? Guard your heart. But that doesn't mean be arrogant with it. That doesn't mean, you know, not to love your neighbor and your enemy. Like I said, those are challenging things, because we live in a fallen world. It's not the easiest to love your neighbor, especially when your neighbor have characteristics or traits that you just don't agree with, or characteristics or traits that you see opposed of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a lot of us, it's definitely hard to love your enemies, you know, if they are portraying that they're your enemy, if they are portraying that, listen, I don't like you, I can't stand you, I don't want to be in the same atmosphere you're in. It's hard to love somebody like that. And look, God is not expecting you to be like, oh, I love you, I need to be in your space, please, can you meet with me? Can we go here together? No, God is not expecting you to. This is not the kind of love God mean when he say love your enemies. He don't mean be in their face. He don't mean you have to be among them. He don't mean that. What he means is not to have no tension or animosity in your heart for anyone. Not to have tension, animosity, or foul thoughts or any imaginations in your mind and heart about anyone. Okay, this is what he means when he said loves your enemy. God knows Jesus was here. He knows that it's hard, okay, to love somebody who is literally an enemy, who is no way, shape, or form a friend, a associate. You know, we like to call these titles just so they can seem less of value, associate, friend, or, you know what I mean? Like, God says it's not easy, and I don't expect you to you know, believe that it's going to be an easy thing, but it's a doable thing. It's a thing that can be done. You understand? And it's a thing that I want you to do. Just don't have no animosity, tension, or bad, ill thoughts towards anyone. Okay? No matter what they've done to you, no matter what they've said about you, no matter what they threw at you behind your back, no matter the shade they've thrown at you, no matter what they've done to your family, no matter what they spoke on your family, look, there's no excuse. And listen, Jesus made it very clear, okay? A lot of us say, well, what if, you know, what if they killed my brother? What if, you know, that's deep. And if you're carnal minded, you're gonna want to take things in your own hand. You're gonna want to take matters in your own hand and do as you see fit. But my God, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is the Lord, meaning you won't have to lift a finger to get, you know, justice. You won't have to lift a finger. Revenge is not your portion. You should not be out here trying and seeking and plotting on getting revenge. Because why? Vengeance is God's. God said, I will take care of them. I will deal with them. I will put them in their place. Okay, you don't have to do nothing, lift a finger, lift your tongue, nothing. I will do my job. That's my job. Vengeance is mine, not yours. So there's no excuse that you can give. Oh, well, they did this. Oh, you don't understand. They did this. They did this. They did that. Vengeance is God's. Okay, so we have to know that there's certain roles and things that we have to play. It's just so crazy, because God, you know, he makes it very clear in his blueprint. He makes it very clear that, listen, I have given you the tools. I've given you the equipment. You're already equipped with what you need. Okay, with the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to do a thing, to pursue something, to continue on, to move forward, despite what has came up against you. Okay, the Bible also tells us too that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that mean, Cooley? That means that when you think that you have an enemy, your real enemy is not the person that you can see, touch, and feel and talk to. No, if you look at a person and say, oh, well, they're my enemy, you know, we don't see eye to eye, X, Y, and Z, that's not your real enemy. And this is why a lot of us, you know, we fall into the tactics and schemes of the enemy, because we don't really know who our true adversary is. We don't even know who our true opponent is. We don't even know who our true enemy really is. The Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what do we wrestle against? We wrestle against spiritual wickedness, principality in high places, okay? We wrestle against the forces of the demonic world. We wrestle against the entities from the demonic world, the pits of hell. This is what we wrestle against, not our family members, not our co-workers, not strangers out there on the road, not our enemies. You understand? So once we like have the knowledge to know who is our true adversary, who is our true opponent, then we would know how to really maneuver in our life. We would know how to really move in a way that God intended and originated us to move in the first place, not against each other. Remember, God needs unity in his body. He needs unity. As children of God, we should be bringing unity. And that brings me to the first thing of this whole episode of Do You Know You? Number one, I just want to remind you, many of you already know this, but many of you need a reminder. You are a child of God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You understand? You are a child of the Most High God. Who created you? Who created you? Who put their hands to the plow together and molded you into who you are, into the being that you are, into the natural and spiritual being that you are? Who created you, beloved? So that's what I'm coming to tell you, that whoever created you, which is God himself, the Alpha and the Omega, the Most High God, he created you, which means you. First and foremost, your identity is in Christ. You are a child of God. And you know what? Let me back that up with some scripture, because you need to be edified about the first bullet point of who you are. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it reads, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Wow, that actually kind of sounds like it was spoken prior to Jesus coming on this earth in the flesh. That's what it sounds like, right? And so in the day and era that me and you live in now, Jesus have already came and gone, all right? He have already came, did his due diligence, did his purpose, did his work, did his ministry, and he ascended to the right hand of God. Now he's where he's supposed to be. And then we have received, okay, the comforter, the helper. Who is that? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has descended to us. As Jesus ascended, Holy Spirit descended. And now we have a helper, okay, a counselor, all right, a comforter. We have someone to guide us into all truth. Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is here to guide us into all truth. So now we have this. Now that Jesus came and gone, guess what? We are sons, we are daughters, we are heirs of the throne of God, we are heirs of the Most High God, we are children of God. So this is who you are. If you didn't know who you were, do you know you? Now you know. If you never knew, now you know. If you don't know, now you know, children. Okay, we are children of the Most High God. And God needs you to know your identity, beloved. Now in the hour, in this new season that we are in, God needs us to know our true identity. He needs us to know who we are, because only only if we know who we truly are. Like I said, if you think your identity is in something outside of Christ, beloved, you don't know who you are. You don't know who you truly are from deep within to your outermost being. You don't know who you are. But when you really find out in Christ who you are, let me tell you how being a child of God is the beginning. Being a child of God is the beginning of who you are. And I could go down a list right now. I could go down a list of what God says that you are, of who God says that you are, of what God calls you. You understand? Of who and what God calls you, and what and who God says you shall have because you are X, Y, and Z. Like, you are so much more. For example, scripture tells us you are more than a conqueror. Okay, you're not just a conqueror. You're not just somebody that's gonna overcome things. In fact, you are more. God calls us more. Can you imagine? And let me tell you something. A conqueror is something though. A conqueror is strong. I look at David as a conqueror, okay? David didn't have no fear for nothing, no one, no nothing. Like, David knew who he was walking with. David knew who he had walking alongside of him the whole way. And this is before Jesus came into flesh, all right? So David already had a heart for God's own heart, and he knew who he was, and he knew who was walking alongside of him no matter where he go, what he say, what, no matter what. David knew what was up. He knew what was up. You understand? And so I see David as a conqueror. The way his character is, the way his zeal was, the way his mindset was, David was a conqueror. David was more than a conqueror than the actual soldiers. Okay, let's go, for example, like Saul. We know King Saul, he was the king prior to David becoming king. And Saul had many soldiers. Saul had many people that he sent on the battle for him to fight X, Y, and Z. Little old puny David, and I say that because the Bible explains how David was not built like a soldier. You could look at David and be like, oh, he's short, he's puny, he's not a fighter. Like, Bible explains how you can look at David and see that that's what David looked like on the outside. But woe be unto them that want to judge a book by the cover, because God said that no matter what you look like on the outside, it's what's on the inside. It what's planted on the inside of you, okay? And if you're choosing to water that seed, whatever the seed that God planted, because whoever David was, guess what? God planted that seed before he was even in his mother's womb. That's why scripture tells us, God says, I knew you. I foreknew you before you were even placed in your mother's womb. So God knew David before he was placed in his mother's womb. God knew David, and God knew the conqueror that David was going to be. Why? Because God planted a seed inside of David. And so as David became of age to know who his creator was, David said, I'm not playing no games. I'm going to water what's in me. I'm going to water this seed. And David continued to water every day. Water. And how do you water, Cooley? You get in God's presence every day. You pray and you fast, okay? You see God, you worship, you praise, you rejoice. You treat people good outside. You treat people good on the inside of your home. You live a life of love. You live a life of a sound mind. You live a life of power of the Most High God. This is how you water the seeds that God planted in you. Because let me tell you how there is so many seeds that God has planted on the inside of us, and some people literally die. When I say die, I mean like in the flesh, because our spirit never dies. You understand? But some people actually die in the flesh, right, where we have to bury them 6 feet under, without utilizing any of their gifts and talents and seeds that God has planted on the inside of them as they were on this earth. Many people die and go back in the ground without fulfilling the works that God has, you know, initially intended for them to do while being on the earth. You don't want to live a life, and you don't want to live a life with the mindset, oh, well, you know, I was born again. I was baptized, I received God, and so my salvation is secured. So I'm just gonna live a whatever kind of life. No, that's not what you want to do. You were put here for a purpose. Yes, you need to accept your salvation and receive your salvation. But honey, you were put here for a purpose. You were put here on this earth to do and change something, to impact something, okay? To impact and change and spread the gospel. If you're not doing none of that, you are living a life that God did not intend for you, which means you are out of his will. I'm just going to give it to you just like that. If you are not doing what God created you to do here on earth, you're out of God's will. And what kind of life do you want to live being out of God's will? Beloved, do you know you? Do you know you? It's time to know your true identity. It's time to step in to the position of who you really are. And again, you are no one if you don't find yourself in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you are a nobody. We are nobodies until we are found in Christ. Then we become somebody. Then we become an heir. Then we become a child of God. Then we become a son. Then we become a daughter. But before that, before accepting and knowing who you are in Christ, you are a nobody. You are, and that's the truth. I'm not being mean. I'm not being anything other than truthful. You would be a nobody if you don't find yourself in Christ. You know, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Excuse my voice, I'm not trying to sound good. This is not about that. Did you hear the words? I once was lost. You once were lost. You once were nobody, but now I'm found. Now you have been found. Now God has given you something to live for. Now God has given you an identity. Now God has told you who you are, what you should be doing, and how to do it, and who you should impact. Now God has given you a reason to literally live on this earth. I once was blind. You were once blinded by the world. You were once blinded by society and what this fallen world tells you who you are. This fallen world tells you you're so many things that God never called you in the beginning. And you were blinded by it. You were blinded, but you once was blind, but now you see. Now God has removed the veil. Now God has given you spiritual insight. Now God has given you foresight. Now God has given you a perspective of his Holy Spirit. And now you can finally see who you are. Now you can finally see what you should be doing on this earth. Now you can finally see the purpose that lies on the inside of you. Now you can finally see the works that God needs you to put your hands to while you are on this earth. My God. And it's when you find your true identity, you can truly walk in the will of God. A lot of us say, oh, I want to find God's will for my life. Oh, I need to know God's will for my life. It's in the blueprint. What is the blueprint? The blueprint is the Bible. It's there. And not just the Bible. Let's not just start there, because I know a lot of religious folks and a lot of people that's getting their information from, you know, books and all these things. A lot of people is going to say, oh, well, the Bible was rewritten 17,000 times. Oh, well, the Bible is not the real Bible. Oh, well, the Bible was built off of slaves. Oh, a lot of people going to bring those things. So let me tell you something. This is where having a one-on-one intimate relationship with God comes in. The Bible is truth. I don't care what nobody say. And this is how I know, because God has revealed the truth of the Bible in my life. And how did God allow himself to reveal to me the truth about the Bible? Because I have a one-on-one intimate relationship with him. And when you have an intimate relationship with him, God will tell you what you need to know about the Bible, okay? If you have questions like, oh, is the Bible real? Or is the Bible truthful? Whatever. If you have those questions, God knows you're his children, okay? Hello, who are you first? A child of God. So God knows his children, okay? Some of you that have children, don't you know your child? Don't you know what your child will say? How your child will react if you told your child a certain thing? Don't you know how your child will behave and react and say before them even behaving and acting and saying it? Yeah, because you know your children, because you birthed your children, because you've raised your child, right? So you would know the things of your child. Guess what? You are a child of God. So God knows you, whether you accepted God yet or not, whether you have received and accepted your salvation. Guess what? God knows you already, whether you want him to or not. He knows you. So God will reveal to you the truth about his Bible. So the reason why I said let's not stop there at the Bible, because of what a lot of people will say, but the Bible is true. But going deeper, God will reveal it all to you. But that stems from the relationship you have with him, the intimate relationship, the one-on-one relationship you have with him, not the relationship with you, him, and your pastor, not the relationship with you, him, and your spouse even. Listen to me. Even if you're in covenant, you should have your own intimate relationship with Christ. Because that's how your marriage is going to work. If there's a spouse that has a relationship and then there's a spouse that don't got an intimate relationship, let me tell you how there's going to be turmoil in that covenant. Okay? The two shall have their own intimate relationship, and then when they come together, God should be that three-chord string. God can't be a three-chord string if one of them is not intimate with him. I pray that makes sense. I know it makes sense, right? And if you need more edifying and stuff like that, this is where you utilize your relationship with God. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I heard what Cooley said on that podcast, and it did strike a conviction in me. It did strike a concern in me. It did strike curiosity in me, Lord. And I want to know more, Father. Help me to know more. Help me to know. And let me, I can assure you that God going to send you, he going to like some way how maneuver you right back to his word, because his word is true. It's not about a book. It's not about a book with pages. It's about the living word that's on the inside of this book. You understand? So God will lead you right back to his word. And it may not be you picking it up, reading it just yet. It may be through some type of sign, person, or something that's going to lead you right back to his word, to the truth, the way, and the life. Hallelujah. So I challenge you today to know your identity. Do you know you? Do you? And if you do, continue to get to know you. Continue to know who you are, guys, because if you're still alive, we're still growing. I don't care if you're 80, I don't care if you're 100 years old. If God still authorized the breath of life to transmute through your body, you are still learning, you're still growing in Christ. So if you know your identity, like me, I know my identity, and I know that I have a lot more learning and growing to do. I'm going to continue seeking God on who I am, because things can change. I'm 28 years old. By the time I'm 33, so much can change about what I know about my identity in Christ. You know what I'm saying? And not change to the fact that, oh, well, you were a child of God when you were 28 and now you're 33, you're not a child of God. No, I'm not speaking of those things, because what God says is and have to remain and will come to pass. It's law. It's just law. You understand? But when I say change, I mean me to go deeper and learn more and in depth. God reveals secrets to us based upon our faith, based upon how we're going to receive it, based upon the work that we put in the work that we put in behind our faith, the work that we put in to try to learn and get to know God. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You can't be walking around here saying, oh, I got faith. But you're not doing the necessary steps and movements and works towards building your faith, towards building your relationship with God. You understand? I pray this makes sense. So I want to go down a list real quick to let you know also who you are. And these are just a couple of things, right? But these are things that will really quicken and edify your spirit, right? And as I read them, I'm going to also put some scriptures. I'm going to also quote scriptures, not like read out the scripture, because that will take up some time, but I'm going to give you scriptures that you can write down, okay? Get a pen, get a paper, use your phone, your notepad, whatever. We got too much technology nowadays to be saying, oh, I didn't have pen and paper, or oh, I can't write this down, or oh, if you really want to grow in Christ, if you really want to know who you are, you got to do the work. Again, faith without works is dead. You have to do the work. So these are some scriptures that you can write down to remind yourself that, hey, I am a creature, a new creature in Christ. Hey, my identity is in Christ and Christ alone. So I'm going to know more who I am. Because let me tell you something. The enemy don't want you to know who you are. The enemy do not want you to know who you are. And who is the enemy? The enemy is not, you know, the people that you have sour relationships with. The enemy is not, you know, family members and co-workers and best friend, ex-best friends or whatever that you have sour relationships with. No, the enemy is the spiritual wickedness and the principalities and the entities of this world that don't want us to succeed or to find ourselves in Christ. The enemy don't want you to find yourself in Christ. But once you keep finding yourself, you keep finding yourself and you keep letting the enemy know, listen, this is who I am and I know who I am and you got to go. You got to be under my authority. We got dominion over the enemy. Did you know that? We have authority over the enemy. Do you know that he is under our heels, under our feet? Do you know that? So it's time for you to know who you are truly in Christ, know your identity and move accordingly. Now I'm going to go through a couple things. The number one one, I'm just going to go down the list. Not only are you a child of God, but you are a co-worker. A co-worker of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. You are a co-worker of God. You are a light. Okay, you are a light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are a light. I want you guys to really read and chime in into these scriptures, these verses, because God will really speak into your life and you will gain insight and knowledge and wisdom of who you truly are. All right, next one. You are a masterpiece. That's a good one. You are a masterpiece. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are a masterpiece. Hallelujah. You are a new creation. Yes, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You are a new creation. Next. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a really, really good one, because once you know that the Holy Spirit resides in you, you can take on anything. You hear me? Anything. Next, you are blameless. Yes, you are blameless. Colossians chapter 1, 22, verses 22 through 23. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. You are blameless. Okay, a lot of religious people here like, what? How can we be blameless when there's nobody that could ever be perfect? Go read the word of God. Go read the word of God. Let God minister into your spirit of why he calls us blameless. Amen. Next, you are blessed. A lot of us are living lives and we just don't see that we're blessed. We don't feel blessed. Honey, you are blessed despite. Okay, that big word, despite. You are blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you are blessed. You are bold. I love this one because I haven't always been bold and expressive and passionate about the word of God. Never. That's where Coolie Baby Expresses come from, because I was never able to express myself at a very young age, even into my adult years. And then when I gave my life to Christ and I allowed God to have his way and will in my life, he allowed me to start getting boldness and courage to just be expressive and passionate in revealing the truth of my life, where he brought me from, where he's taken me to, and his word, his gospel. You are bold. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12. You are bold, beloved. I love this one. You are chosen. Hallelujah. That's why you're watching this right now, because you are a chosen vessel of God. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. You are chosen. Don't let nobody tell you different, beloved, because again, what God has spoken, it is. It just is what it is. You are chosen. Yes. You are delighted in. God takes delight in you. Yes. That's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, that's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. You are delighted and God takes great delight in you. Okay, you are enough. This is a good one. Okay, to a lot of my women, this goes for men too, but I just feel led to you know, share light on this with women. You are enough, baby. You are enough, sister. You are enough. You are enough. You are enough, men. You are enough. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you went through, what was happening to you right now. You are enough, but you have to know that within. You have to know within that I am enough. I am a man of God. I am enough. I am enough. I am a woman of God. I am enough. You are enough, beloved. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. That's Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. You are enough. Don't forget it. This is a big one. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verses 38 through 39. That's Acts chapter 13, verses 38 through 39. You are forgiven. Know that, beloved. Don't let the enemy keep you hostage and attached to things and mistakes and stuff that God has already forgiven you from. You are forgiven. Just believe that. Ask God for it and believe that you are. And honey, you are forgiven. Amen. Remember that. You're forgiven. You are free. Hallelujah. You are not a slave to sin. You are not a slave to the devil. You are not a slave to your boss at work. You are not a slave at all, in no way, shape, or form. You are not a slave. You are free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Beloved, you are free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are gifted. We just talked about having talents and gifts and using them and watering them. That's a seed from God. You are gifted. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. You are gifted, beloved. Use them. Water them. You are holy. A lot of us don't feel holy because of the things that we've done before, the decisions that we've made before, you know, the way we were living in the world prior to, you know, seeking God now. You are holy. You were saved, sanctified. You were born again. You were water baptized and baptized in the Spirit. You are holy. You hear me? You are holy. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Beloved, you are holy. And don't let nobody else tell you nothing different. You're holy. Now it's just a matter of you walking in that holiness, right? You are justified. What did we just say? Vengeance is the Lord. It's not yours. God will bring that justice for you. You don't got to go seek justice and take it in your own hands. God will bring justice, okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You are justified. Amen. Amen. This is very important. You are loved. You are loved, okay? We all know that we are loved by God, but beloved, I love you. I love you. This is why I set aside time, you know, doing this podcast and, you know, Moving Monday and just anything that God has put in my ministry. It's time consuming. And I would have to really love y'all to put myself in a position to stay up late and to, you know, sacrifice going here and there and having fun to edit and put these things out there. You are loved. God loves you and I love you. God loves you more, but I truly love you. So if I really love you like this, imagine how much love God loves you. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. You are loved, beloved. You are made great by God. Not you are made good by God. You are made all right or okay by God. No, you are made great by God. Psalm chapter 18, verse 35. That's Psalms chapter 18, verses 35. You are made great by God. I really pray that you guys are writing this down, taking notes, something, because this is really going to transform someone's life. This is really going to transform your life if you so choose it to do that. Okay? Remember, we have free will. And God needs you to just be transformative, do a whole 360 and let God be the forefront, okay, the driver of your life. You are never alone. Beloved, you are never alone. I know a lot of us have, I have gone through a season of isolation. And I feel like knowing what I know, experiencing what I've experienced, I feel like isolation is necessary and is almost required for this walk, you know, with Christ, because God has to bring you to a point where it's just you and him, and he has to prune you. He has to really, you know, remove that, those gunks of trauma and all these things, and, you know, being in the atmosphere and under the influence of other people and other things that God doesn't need you to, God doesn't need you to that to have your attention. You won't get the fullness of what God is trying to do in your life. So sometimes God will bring you to isolation so you can really get what you need, right? So you are never alone. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8. You are never alone. It doesn't matter if you're not around human beings, okay? Know that the entire Godhead is always with you. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, Holy Spirit lives on inside of you. So you literally never alone physically. You understand? And spiritually, you're never alone. So the next one, you are pleasing. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. You are pleasing. God is pleased with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Now, this is you, like, trying to live such a life. This is you trying to be in the will of God, okay? God is pleased with you. You are redeemed. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. That's Colossians chapter 1 verses 14. You are redeemed. You are righteous. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. You are righteous. You are saved. Hallelujah. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 through 6. Beloved, you are saved. You are set apart. I love this one. You are not meant to be in the crowd. You are not meant to be alike like the world. You are not meant to be up in the world's atmosphere. No, no, no. You are set. You are called to be set apart. Why? Because you are chosen. You are. Remember, do you know who you are? Okay. Do you know you? You are chosen. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are set apart. Okay. You are valuable. Okay. You got to know this. You gotta accept it. You are valuable. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 through 20. Beloved, you are valuable. Don't let your circumstances tell you otherwise. You are of value. All right. And so people should see you and treat you as such. And people can only treat you in a way that you allow them to. You got to know that you're valuable. You have to treat yourself as value. Amen. You are wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Let's add fearfully onto that. Okay. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's Psalms chapter 139 verse 14. That's Psalms chapter 139 verse 14. You are wonderfully made. Okay. There's wonders on the inside of you because of the God that you were created by, because you were created in his image. So means you have his characteristics up in there. You have his traits up in you, right? You have wonders and miracles inside of you. You were wonderfully made, beloved. These are just some of the things that I wanted to instill in your mind and your heart of who you are. A lot of us know who we are in Christ, but we had to go deeper, and this is why God allowed this episode to be on Do You Know You, because he wants us to go deeper on who we are, beloved. So I want you to take these scriptures. If you have to run this episode back and re-listen, please, by all means, do what you have to do. Do the works behind your faith. Do what you have to do to get the edification and get the things and the necessary, you know, wisdom that you need to continue moving forward. You can't move forward in this life. On this earth, I'm telling you, earth is getting real ghetto out here. It's getting real crazy and real ghetto. You cannot maneuver in this earth without knowing who you are. And your true identity, the real you, is in Christ. If you're trying to say you're somebody outside of Christ, that's not who you really are, beloved. And you're going to be living a life of pretending. And let me tell you how God cannot and will not bless who you pretend to be. I'm going to tell you that right now. So listen. Get to know more and more and more on a daily basis who you are and who you are in Christ and Christ alone. Okay? God needs you to know you. Do you know you? God needs you to know you, because only when you know you, you can literally go out there and be in purpose doing the things that you were literally wired and created to do. We all have our own fingerprint, which means what you were created to do, that's it. It's only you. What God have on the inside of you, only you carry that. Nobody can do it for you. So listen, please know who you are and then live by that. Know who God called you, know what he calls you, and then live by that, okay? I pray that this episode was so edifying to your spirit and your heart, and I'm excited for what's gonna come out of you knowing who you are. And like I said, a lot of you know who you are, but a lot of you are gonna learn more and more and more in depth of who you are in Christ, and I'm just so excited of what's to come in your life. Listen, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and also make sure you stay connected to the Moving Monday that will be released this Monday, this upcoming Monday. A video releases at 5:45 a.m. Eastern Time, and we go live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget it. Tune in, all right? And make sure, for all the other movements that God is doing, go to the website www.cb17visionz, that CB17visions with a Z at the end.com. Go to tune into all of that. Look, them guys outside the studio is getting real crazy with the work. Now that they want to come back, but you know what? It's good that, you know, God allowed them to come back at the end of this episode. But I love you guys so much. I'll see you on the next episode, episode 6. Until time, guidance. I love you. Mwah.
Thanks for watching this episode of Coolie Baby Express's podcast. If you have not tapped in to Moving Mondays, tap in every Monday. Visual releases 5:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For Coolie Baby merch, music sessions, and more, go to the website www.cb17visions.com. We will see you on next week's episode on CBE Podcast. Be sure to join us every Saturday, 6:45 Eastern Standard Time. And remember, take the word to God for revelation.